Let's get into our study again, the Samson syndrome, talking about strong people, whether men or women. This is part two. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 14. There was a question before we get into our study about the angel of God in Judges 13, whether it was what they call a theophany appearance of Christ or a Christophany. Theophany comes from the Greek theos, which is God, and then phanos, which is appear. So it's an appearance of God is what it is. So we talk about the Old Testament theophany. It's an appearance of God to people in the Old Testament. Most of the time, you can be very accurate whether it's Jesus or just an angel just by how they use it. Now, as we've talked about before, the original Hebrew and Greek does not have punctuation, does not have capitalization, does not have any of those things. So in your Bibles, when you see in the Old Testament it says, the angel of the Lord, the angel is capitalized, and you see the word the sometimes is. When it's just a regular, it should be an angel of the Lord. Depending on what translation you use, some are different, so I can't say that for it's not a catch-all. But for the most part, I think the King James is very particular about that. The angel of the Lord, the angel is capitalized, and an angel of the Lord, angel is lowercase, which indicates that it's just a regular angel, or the capitalized means it is a pre-incarnate Christ appearance of Jesus to somebody in the Old Testament. Is there any questions? And it doesn't answer whether it was the one in Judges 13, whether that was Jesus or not. It probably was. There are mixed feelings there just because the sacrifice, you don't sacrifice to God. There's different ways that you can tell whether it's an angel or it's the Lord. Number one, angels aren't worshipped. In Revelation, you see 19 where the angel was talking to John and he bowed his head to him. He said, "Don't bow before me. I am your fellow servant." So angels are never to be worshipped. So if an angel was worshipped, then you know that it was probably the Lord Jesus in a pre-incarnate appearance in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter, 5, where Jesus appears to him, and he says, "Who are you? Are you for us or against us?" And he said, "I'm the captain of the Lord's army." And then he says, Joshua bows down, and he goes, "Oh, my Lord, what would you have me to do?" And he goes, "Take the shoes off your feet because where you're standing is holy ground." So we know he bowed before him and he worshiped him. So we know that that was Jesus. It would probably be a good appearance in Judges 13 that that was another appearance of Jesus himself as well. But you just have to look at the context. Matter of fact, I think it's Genesis. I forget the scriptural reference, but it's where Jacob wrestles with God. It was an angel, the angel of the Lord that he wrestles with. And so we know that that was Jesus. Most of the time, they knew that it was the Lord when, and I think Judges 13 is the same thing, where Manoah, Samson's dad, says, "We have seen the Lord and we are going to die." Matter of fact, Jacob says the same thing and Gideon says the same thing. I've seen the Lord, and I'm going to die. So two issues there. Number one, it wasn't the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God is different than a theophany appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. The Shekinah glory of God is like Moses on Mount Sinai, where God was passing in front of him, his entire Shekinah glory. And God had to put his glory or his hand in front of Moses' face so he could not see him lest he die. Now, even though he was covered and shielded, his face still glowed. And it had such a glow, Moses had to put a veil over his face when he come down the mountain because it was so bright and shining from seeing God's Shekinah glory. But the theophany appearance of Christ in the Old Testament as an angel didn't have that Shekinah appearance. And so that there was no death involved, and also because it was like, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. So if If God wanted you to do something, why would you die because you saw God? So it's kind of a catch-22, even though that would be the case. It didn't, because he had a purpose for them in their life, but they didn't actually see his full Shekinah glory. Angels aren't to be worshipped. They don't bow down to them, nor do they sacrifice to angels. So if you see that in the Old Testament appearance, you'll know that it's either an angel or Christ. After the New Testament, when Jesus was born, there were no more appearances of Christ, because Christ appears as himself from that moment forward. We see that in Acts 9, where he comes in contact with Paul, and then Revelation, where he sees John again. Any questions? Does that answer that question? Hopefully that's, if it's not crystal clear, let me know. We'll go over some more. Okay, let's get into it. So, last week we talked about strong men. That's what this whole series is about, the Samson syndrome. Strong men tend to overstep things that they shouldn't, because they're strong, and that's what happens. So when you have strong men or women, doesn't matter, they tend to overstep what they shouldn't. And so last week we talked about strong men tend to disregard boundaries. Boundaries are there for a reason, and so God gives us boundaries for a specific purpose, and so you shouldn't overstep your boundaries. Today, let me talk about strong men tend to ignore good advice. That's a good one. Lou Holtz, the former coach of Notre Dame, he said this: "My athletes follow my advice to the letter, except where it conflicts with what they want to do." And that's the way it is with most people. Proverbs 12:15, Solomon says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." A fool is always right in his own opinion, because he always listens to himself. But a wise man will listen to advice. When you run across good advice, it would behoove you to take note of it. Write it down, something, anything. Put it into memory, because you can always use that at some. Here are some funny advisors. When you're depressed, just listen to country music, because the people in those songs have a more messed up life than you do. So that'll always give you some comfort. Always buy your parents nice gifts, because you don't want to inherit junk. don't bother naming your cat, because they won't come when they call anyway. So just save you some time. But anyway, so when we talk about good advice is like a medicine. It does you no good unless you take it in, right? So you have to make sure that you're using good advice. Strong men are usually prone to doing things their own way because of pride or stubbornness, or call it what you want. But they disregard good advice, and they get into some risky things and disastrous situations. And so Samson was a perfect example of that. If you're there in Judges 14, look at verse 1. It says, "Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines." Okay, so number one, he saw a woman that he wasn't supposed to be looking at, and he, well, desired her. We'll see in just a second, he desired to make her his wife. And so should that have been any thought in his mind to do that? To take a pagan woman as a wife. Why? Why shouldn't it have been? Why shouldn't he have even had any thought? Where did he say not to? Someplace before Judges. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 3 to 4, God says, "You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons, or taking their daughters for your sons, for they will turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods." God said, don't marry the pagan women, or don't, you know, marry the pagan men, because they will turn your hearts away from serving me. And so from the beginning, he should have already known. So he had God's advice. So if you have God's advice, you listen to God first and foremost, right? You don't need anybody else's advice. However, his parents gave him some good advice, and he didn't listen to them either. In Judges 14, verse 2 to 3, it says that he came and told his mom and dad, "I saw this woman at Timnah. and I desire her from the Philistines. Go get her for me as my wife. I love that. What a prideful, stubborn, miserable creep. Go get her to be my wife. But his father and mother said to him, well, don't you have any women of the daughters of your relatives? Is there nobody in Israel? Is there no Jew that you can marry? That you have to go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And that was always, uncircumcision was always a negative comment to people, especially the Philistines. But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she's right in my eyes. He's like, I don't care. That's the one I want. You go get her for me. It's a shame. It's really not the issue or the point of how he got to this place. And you can speculate about that. God told Manoah and his wife that you're going to have a son. He is going to be of the Nazarite vow, and I'm going to use him greatly. And sometimes when you have a son like that, they become the favored son. I don't know if Samson had brothers or if Manoah and his wife had any more children, if he was an only child, whatever. Sometimes the only children are very spoiled because there's no other child to spoil. So we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But at some point, just like Joseph, you remember Joseph? He was the favored son. Well, that was because Isaac loved Rachel instead of, or Jacob loved Rachel instead of the other ones, but he was already favored because of that reason. But he might have been spoiled as a kid all the way up through. And then finally, when it come time for him to do something about it, he became a very prideful, arrogant man. But the bottom line is this is what happens when strong, capable men and women close their ears off to good, sound advice. I don't know if anybody knows anything about Napoleon Bonaparte. He was an excellent strategist in the military, and that's how he came up really fast in the early 1800s for France, fighting all these wars. He could, he was good in topography. He knew how to, the lay of the land, and he knew in strategy where to place certain people to overcome the enemy. He was very, very good. But he got prideful and he got very arrogant, and I think he was even kicked out of France at one point, and then he lost his lost the battle at Waterloo. That was a song by ABBA, wasn't it? Waterloo. All right, never mind. Anyway, so it was a song, and they sung about it. Waterloo. I'm just trying to bring you up to speed. You can go listen to that from ABBA. That was a good one. That one's free. But anyway, at Waterloo, it was raining, and so that screwed up the topography and everything from his cannons, and everything didn't do what it was supposed to do, and he couldn't compensate for any of the problems that he had, and he lost. He was so mad. He stuck in it longer than what he should have because he didn't want to lose. And so he had many advisors that said, don't go do it. You need to go back and regroup your troops, because he went into Prussia and just kept going. He'd lose troops, and he'd keep fighting and win. He'd lose all these people, but he never went back to regroup. And so he didn't listen to some sound advice and lost the battle at Waterloo. That's fun. That's a good song. You can sing that. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. So the greatest men of God, they listened to good sound advice. And biblically speaking, Moses was one of those men. In Exodus 18, verse 17 through 21, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he says to Moses, what you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. So what happened was Moses was in charge of all of Israel, and every small and big and large and medium and in-between problem that they had, they went to Moses every second of every day. Whether it was a problem with other people, was a problem with possessions, was a problem with food, was a problem with whatever, they went to Moses nonstop. And he was the only one, to address the issues. And Jethro comes to him and says, you can't do this. You can't do this, man. It's going to wear the people out. It's going to wear you out. It's too much for you. You need to do something different. Verse 19. Obey my voice. He says, I'm going to give you some good advice, and God's going to be with you to listen to you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their case to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. God made you in charge of us so that we can follow God's commands. You listen to God, you tell us what God wants us to do, and that's what your job should be. And he goes on, verse 21, moreover, look for able men for all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, they're not going to take a bribe, and place those men over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. You need to have people that are going to be in charge of different stuff so you're not doing everything. And Moses took the advice. It's good, sound advice. It was something that he could do. And so instead of telling them, hey, I'm in charge, God put me in charge, not you, I don't need to listen to that, he did. And in verse 24, so Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And he was very successful. Very successful. Took care of all kinds of problems. So the point of all that was, the brightest and best leaders need on occasion some advice. It doesn't matter who you are. Sometimes we get so engrossed in doing the work that we can't see some of the things that we're doing wrong. Amen? You get so engrossed in doing work, sometimes you can't see what you're doing wrong because you're just doing the work. And that was the same thing with Moses. And maybe we've done things wrong for so long that we just become numb to the consequences of what we're doing because of it. But next time somebody offers you some advice, be careful how you react. Stop and consider that that person might be seeing something from a different angle that you can't see. And that's hard, especially for people of leadership. Especially where it comes to things that you are very good at. Sometimes there could be a different way that might be just as good or even better than the way you're doing it. And both ways may not be wrong. And that's an issue that you have to stop and consider. So how can we ignore, how can we not ignore good advice and take steps when people have something to say? All right. Number one. Or A, whatever. Listen to the people who disagree with you. Why would I want to do that? Why do I want to listen to anybody that disagrees with me? Nobody wants to listen to somebody that's going to disagree with them. Why would I even give them the time of day? Well, for number one, if you've ever... they might have something to build your case stronger. And I use this doctrinally speaking. I love to listen to people that disagree with me doctrinally, because all that does, it doesn't infuriate, well, it does, it infuriates me. I hate false teachers. They tick me off really bad. But I listen to them because I listen to their position. I listen to exactly what they say. I listen to the scriptures they use, and I listen to how they use them. And then I go back and I try to refute myself based off what they have. And if I can't do it, and I know that the scriptures refutes what they say, then I have nothing to say. But at least I am stronger for it. I have built my position stronger by listening to people who disagree with me. And this is the point to where I'm at today, because I am not a legalist like I used to be, because I stopped listening to what people told me that absolutely wasn't true. Wasn't what the Bible said. And so when you stop and you look at the from a different angle and you look to the scriptures, is this okay to do this? Is this not okay to do this? And this is the problem you run into. Tattoos, that's a good one. People say, oh, it's in the Old Testament, you're not supposed to have a tattoo. Well, that's no, not really. Now, there's two things wrong in the New Testament. If you want to witness to Jews, don't have a tattoo. Because if you have a tattoo, they won't listen to anything you have to say. Okay, so if God calls you to be a witness to the Jews, don't get a tattoo. And if you have one, have it removed. Secondly, the Old Testament tattoos where they quote from, most all of them from Leviticus 18, is talking about tattooing your body for the dead. Putting somebody's name on there, putting their face on there, something of that nature. If you put some type of name and date and all that stuff of a dead loved one, that's what the old, that's what the Bible calls necromancing. It's a form of communicating with the dead. And so that was forbidden. So for tattoos, is it okay or not okay? Well, not that simple. I would say it's not a big deal. But don't tattoo your body for folks that have passed on. And don't tattoo your body if you're going to witness to Jews. So there's two important things you have to figure out. So when you listen to that, I would do that. So many people, oh, here's another one, cremation. So many people forbid cremation because it's unbiblical. And that's not accurate. It's absolutely not accurate. And they point out one specific passage where the Edomites burned some people and God burnt them. And it was like, God destroyed those pagans. But the problem is, if you go back to 2 Samuel, you'll find out that King Saul, when he was killed, they cut his body in pieces and hung him up on the wall of Dagon. And David went and had men take all of his body parts down, and he burned them and then buried them. And it was well-pleasing to the Lord. What happens to a body when you burn it? What is that called? Cremation, right? If you're burning, bones, that's cremation. It's a form of cremation. You're burning them up. So you can't say that God forbids it if it was well-pleasing to him. All it is a disposal of the body, just like a tattoo of somebody for the dead. If you keep the ashes around and you begin to talk to it, like for real, then that's what's called necromancing, trying to communicate with the dead, forbidden, Old and New Testament. That's why it's important for you to have a place to put the body to rest. That way it doesn't become an idol or something you begin to worship. And so it's very important. So when you're talking about good, sound advice, listen to people who disagree with you, because it's going to make your position stronger, or you're going to find the loopholes or faults in yours. Does that make sense? Okay. What do we got? Number two, listen to people who love you. I say that because most of the time, your children won't listen to you. Train them to listen to you. That's the whole thing. I remember Cheyenne, she said, she goes, I got to go down and get wiper blades for my car. I said, well, make sure you measure them first, because most cases the driver's side is bigger than the passenger side. Yeah, okay, all right. Come back, had two of the same, and the driver's side was different than the passenger side. Passenger side was much smaller. Don't tell Dad, I got to go back and get the smaller one for the passenger side. Just, hey, you know, we're kind of like the farmer's insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. We are farmers. Bum, ba-da-bum, bum, 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 bum. See, you were doing that too. I know you were. I saw you. It's just habit. You just got to do that stuff. That's how we are. We're creatures of habit. Listen to people who love you. You can tell teenagers all day long, man, the same exact thing. But if one of the coaches was like, hey, go down there and get your, there's two different sizes, make sure you measure them before you get them. Oh, she'd have done that all day. If her tennis coach would have said that to her, she'd have went down there and made sure she measured them. You got tape measure, can I use yours? She wouldn't ask me for mine, but yeah. Listen to people who love you. Sometimes we neglect that, especially spouses. Spouses sometimes are the ones that get the worst because they listen to everybody else's advice except for their spouse. One man challenged his wife and said, why are you so nice to him and you're so mean to me? And she said real quickly, well, because he didn't keep me up all night last night snoring. So, but make sure you listen to people that love you, not just family, but even church family as well. Number three. Listen to people who have achieved the success you're looking for. People that have done this before, I mean, Samson wasn't the only judge. There were many judges before him. He could have listened to sound good advice by listening to people who had success before him. And this is the thing with Joshua. Moses led battles, and he was going to lead battles, and God encouraged him, hey, I was with him, I'll be with you. If I'm calling you to do it, you're going to have victory. Just listen to me. It's going to be fine. And so listen to people who have achieved the success that you're trying to achieve. Now, if you're looking for marital advice, I would not go to someone who's been divorced 11 times. It's going to be involved. If you want to do that, I would go to somebody who's been married for 75 years and they're still together. Had problems all along the way, but loved each other longer now, or more now than what they did before. I'd go to them. That'd be great advice. And so when people offer advice, stop and think about whether, do they have an expertise in this area? Do they, have they been where you want to go? And what's happened to others who listen to their advice? There's a lot of people that have been places, done things, sound very smart, and people have listened to their advice and got it completely wrong and messed their lives up. And you're like, yeah, don't listen to him. He'll mess, yeah, don't, yeah. He sounds good in theory. He's been there and had some success. But yeah, everybody's life after that, he's really messed up. So these are issues like anything. I mean, somebody would come to me and they'd be like, hey, do you know anything about knee replacements? I'd be like, yeah, sure do. What do you want to know? I've had three of them. Yeah. So yeah, I've been there. I've had it done. And I can tell you who's very successful and who I would encourage you to go to. And that's the way it is. So look for people who have achieved the success that you're looking for. Because that's what you want to listen to and some of that good sound advice. And lastly, listen to people who know and love God's word. Why is that so important? You need to find people, as Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From God's mouth come knowledge and understanding. So people that love the Lord are going to want to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and give you good, sound wisdom. And so that'd be the best thing to do right there. Find those people who know and love God's word. Look, a lot of people think they're wise. Even godly folks think they're wise. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. That's where pride comes in. You know, I can tell you all day long, hey, I'm humble. Just ask me, I'll tell you. I got a little badge that says I'm humble. But it doesn't mean I am. So just make sure that these people are following close to the Lord. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom or other people's wisdom. There are laws that were actually passed by elected officials who were judged by their, constituents, to be wise and intelligent political leaders. Listen to these. Alabama, it is illegal to drive a car while you are blindfolded. I just think that'd be common sense, but Oklahoma, it is illegal to make ugly faces at a dog. These are politicians making laws in America or individual states for the benefit of others. That benefits dogs so they don't get their feelings hurt. In Kentucky, it is illegal to carry an ice cream cone in your pocket. That's just dumb, but I don't think that I would arrest somebody for it. In Massachusetts, it's illegal to snore with your bedroom windows open. I'm just saying. So if somebody's going to give you some good advice, here are some tips to listen to it. If you want to listen to some sound advice outside of those things, you want to make sure that you ensure what is actually being communicated. You want to make sure that you're hearing what is being said. And this is something that I've done in marriage counseling. It's hard to explain to folks communication. Because even though you're saying something, somebody else might be hearing something different. I counseled some folks in PA, and the whole time he kept saying that she ridicules me for what I do at home. I don't do enough. And in her defense, she said, well, I just called your dad because you were so busy. I wanted to help you out. And that was paraphrased, but that was kind of what she said. But this is what he heard. You're too lazy and you don't get anything done, so I had to call your dad to do it for you. So when I say, make sure you hear what's being communicated, make sure you're understanding what is being said. And so these are some ways that you can eliminate miscommunication. Miscommunication is the biggest breakdown in relationships, not only in a marriage, but also in other relationships. Not understanding what is being communicated. Number one, reserve. You reserve judgment. Don't tune them out before you hear what they have to say, especially those that you disagree with. Listen to everything that they're about to say so that you can give a rational response out of it. So don't tune them out. Reserve your judgment. Secondly, resist. Resist the temptation to butt in and stop them. Let them finish. Let them get out all the way to the end, what they have to say. Three, remain calm, especially if that person begins to give you his advice, and his advice tends to get a little agitated. Guess what? Don't respond out of emotion. That's on your end, not their end. And so we'd have a lot less, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. So he can get agitated all he wants, but if you're not going to keep agitating it and putting wood on the fire will go out. So just make sure you remain calm. Don't do anything so that you're not going to miss some wisdom that they may have to say. That's what happens when emotions flare and you react out of emotion. You're not even paying attention to what's being communicated, and there may be a snippet of wisdom that might help you. Review. Here's the good one. Review. Review for the purpose of clarification. This is good communication. Repeat to them what they're saying so that they understand you are crystal clear in what they've communicated. And sometimes that's where the barrier comes into play. People don't do that, and they lose what's being spoken. And then reflect. Make sure you pray about what is being given to you. Even though your way might be a good way, somebody else's way might be better, not only for just them or what you're trying to do, but for the whole group. It's better to do what is best in the eyes of the Lord for everybody rather than just for yourself. So make sure you always pray about something. Regardless about sound advice, make sure you pray. Pray about it. Pray. You'd be like, oh, I got to make this decision. Okay, have you prayed about it? Better pray about it first. If people give you advice, pray about their advice. Pray about your answer. Pray about it. Pray, pray, pray. Reflect on it and pray. Vitally important. And then lastly, you'll have good, sound judgment to either receive what they say and do it or reject it and go on with some other advice. Proverbs 2:2 says in the NLT, tune your ears to wisdom. Make sure you're listening to sound wisdom. Proverbs 15:22, the NLT says, plans go wrong for lack of advice, but many advisors bring success. In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. For lack of vision, the people perish. There's all kinds of proverbs that say the exact same thing. You need to have good, solid, sound advice, especially from good, godly men when you're trying to make a godly decision. In Revelation, Jesus himself even says this, anybody who has ears, let him hear. You got to hear. You got to listen. Listen to what's being said so that you can make good, sound decisions. And so, just like the Farmers Insurance, we really haven't seen it all, done it all, or heard it all. There are always new things coming up. And so listening to somebody's sound advice about some type of something. 40 years ago, somebody wanting to get into a video store would probably have been a good idea. Today, I don't think that you should have a business as a video store. Probably it's not going to be too good. So even though culture changes, sometimes decisions are going to be changing with culture. Sometimes you may need to change. Sometimes you may need to change how you do things. So this... Church is the same way, unfortunately. I hate to say that, too. God's word never changes. You never change the message. It never changes for the people. But sometimes how you do things in culture does change. And keep up with the changes, or you're going to get bashed in the shovel like Old Yeller and just taken out the rest. We live in a bubble here. I should say I live in a bubble. I'm in my own little bubble here. I forget so much. How so many churches have closed down since COVID, and are continually closing down every year. This is 2025, and there's still churches that are closing down. Some churches have combined, and even those churches that have combined have shut down. People are losing congregants. People are losing stuff. And praise God, to the glory of God, we are maintaining everything that we have every year. Matter of fact, it was so exciting that when COVID hit in 2020, our financial support went up that year. It was awesome. I thought it was great, but man, yeah, things can change. So you need good, godly, sound advice, and there's ways to do that. So don't be so strong that you forget to listen to good advice. That's what happens when we become prideful and stubborn and cocky and think that we've got this. We don't have this. We're still in sinful flesh, which means we have a corrupt mind. And so we still need good advice, good godly advice. So hopefully that's something that can help you, and even in the older seasons of life, you still need good advice on what to do. And so hopefully they can use something of that in life. Whether you still work and you're a manager or a boss or you work for somebody, always need good advice. In home, in retirement, I had some good advice when I was younger for retirement, and I never listened. And now I could kick my younger self in the butt for not doing it. This happens. You'll pay for it. It's reaping and sowing consequences. So hopefully you won't have extreme ones.